Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Stu. I hope everybody had a great weekend, and we have a lot of stuff to get to. We have a huge week coming up, guys. Huge. For a couple of different reasons. Number one, we have CinemaCon. This is like everybody who's involved. So if you're not familiar with CinemaCon, it is like the Super Bowl for the movies. This is where every single major studio, MGM, Amazon, Paramount, Universal, I know I'm leaving a bunch out, Lionsgate, they all are going to bring their brand new, unseen stuff to the exhibitors or the movie theaters. So what ends up happening is you're a studio, you bring it there, you debut it, and this is what they're going to see. This is what you guys are going to see later on. So we have that. So this is starting tonight, and Sony is going to be doing their presentation later on tonight. And I'm going to talk about, you know, what I think might be there. So there are three absolutes going to be shown there. We all know the Flash is going to be there, okay? We have this film called The Boogeyman. That's going to be a screening there. And then we have one more film later on during the week. So Paramount is doing their presentation on Thursday. So, and then Universal is doing it in the middle of the week. And then tonight is Sony. And as I said, as we go through the show, I'm going to talk about what I think is going to be there and not there and all that good stuff. So that's one big reason. Number two, I am going to be either right after the show or tomorrow. I have all the notes right in front of me. I am going to be doing the Mission Impossible rewatch. I've already watched it, and I'm going to be sitting down and streaming that. And if you guys want to, you know, chime in, it will actually be available June 2nd. So if you guys want to be here and chime in and whatever else, or you can wait till the 2nd, and that's fine too. And then lastly, we have the re-release, the 40th anniversary. I can't even believe I'm saying that. The 40th anniversary release of Return of the Jedi. So, I'll be going to see that. So if I'll figure out if we're going to do a show or not that day. And then what we'll do is I'm definitely going to go to the re-release, and I'll talk to you guys about it. Because even though everybody's seen the movie, it's a different experience actually being in the theater. I think I was like 7, 8, maybe 10 when it came out, close to 10. So it's a different experience. Anyways, we got a lot to get through today. So let's just jump right in with our first story. So anybody who read the tease, okay, since Bob Iger has come back, he has made it a point that he needs to cut and burn and slash, okay? And so he has about $5.5 billion total to completely get everything back up to snuff, okay? That's a lot of money. That's everything across the board. So this comes from Variety today. And so Disney is going to slash 4,000 layoffs this week with second round of cuts. Now, there is going to be a third wave ahead of the summer, so probably another few weeks. In a month-long goal to reach 7,000 jobs cut, Disney will begin its second round of layoffs today. The notifications will be handed out to staff through Thursday, concluding with approximately 4,000 job eliminations completed overall by week's end, according to company officials. While the Disney workforce will be reduced by thousands across divisions, Disney Entertainment, ESPN, and Disney Parks, experiences products, they're not going to be harmed here. So the hourly frontline operations, the park resorts are not going to be harmed. And locations from Burbank to Connecticut to New York, there are still more layoffs to come. According to Disney, a third and final wave of cuts is expected to begin ahead of the summer, which will bring the Mouse House to its 7,000 layoffs target. Now, the figure represents 3.5%, almost 3.5% of Disney total headcount of about 220,000 jobs worldwide as of October 1st of last year. Details regarding specific departments and positions affected by the layoff will come throughout the week. ESPN cuts are expected to make up a portion of the notices given out Monday, though no number has been confirmed by the Jimmy Paterno-run division. On Tuesday, Variety has heard Disney Entertainment will be the most affected, with layoffs across ABC, Hulu, FX, Disney Channel, Freeform, and among other studio divisions. These are hard decisions, not ones taken lightly, but every decision has been made with considerable thought, and we are doing everything we can to make sure this process is conducted with respect and compassion. Co-chairman Disney Entertainment Alan Berg and Dan Wallen said in a memo to staff on Monday. The senior leadership teams have been working diligently to define our future organization, and our biggest priority has been getting this right rather than getting this done fast. We recognize that this has been a period of uncertainty, and we thank you for all your understanding and patience. Disney first announced its sweeping layoffs plan in February, soon after Bob Iger returned as CEO upon the ousting of Bob Chapek. Iger was quick to implement the cost-saving energy strategy with the first round of self-reduction at the beginning that had begun on March 27th. The layoffs are part of Disney's efforts to achieve about a $5.5 billion in cost savings. Of that, $2.5 billion represent, quote, non-content costs, end quote, including labor costs. And $1 billion of those targeted cost reductions were already underway in February, Iger had said. Disney is aiming for an annualized reduction of $3 billion in non-sports content costs, expected to be realized over the next several years, the CFO, Christine McCarthy, said. So here is the memo that Bob Iger sent out to his team. And this was the one that Bergman and Walden had sent out. So, as you know, a few weeks ago, the company began notifying employees whose roles are impacted as part of our overall business alignment, realignment, and cost savings effort. We wanted to share that notification will continue in many areas of the companies over the next several days. In addition, restructuring in various businesses will continue for the next couple of months, and we do anticipate there will be further impacts before the summer is out, as previously shared. Each team is in a different place in this process, and your leaders will be sharing more content with you with your group soon. These are hard divisions and not taken one lightly, but every decision has been made with considerable thought, and we are doing everything we can to make sure this process is conducted with respect and compassion. The senior leadership teams have been working diligently to define our future organization, and our biggest priority has been getting this right rather than getting this done fast. We recognize that this period of time it's been of uncertainty, and we thank you for all of your understanding and patience. This is a time of transition for Disney, and these changes affect everyone, whether or not your role is impacted. We are committed to supporting you through this process, this period, and encourage you to reach out to your leader or HR partner with any questions or guidance as needed. While we are confident that these efforts will better position us for the future, we realize that this takes a toll. We want to acknowledge the impact of the future of the moment and simply reiterate our appreciation for you, for all of you, and the passion and dedication you've brought to the work we do every single day. And for those who are leaving the company, please know that your contributions are valued and appreciated. You have played a meaningful role in making Disney what it is today. With gratitude, Alan and Dana. Now, here is Paterno's memo to his ESPN. So ESPN, of course, is a division of Disney. So as Bob Iger said, Disney is reducing its workforce by approximately 7,000 jobs as part of the strategic and streamlined realignment. Today, I am sharing the difficult news we are beginning to notify ESPN employees whose position are impacted. As we advanced as a core segment of Disney with operational and financial responsibility, we must further identify ways to be efficient and nimble. We will continue to focus our workforce on initiatives that are more closely aligned with our critical priorities and emphasize decision-making and responsibilities deeper into the organization. That said, I do not want to minimize the enormous toll of saying goodbye to dedicated colleagues that have worked tirelessly to strengthen ESPN and deliver for sports fans. The people of ESPN and their constant resolve to get the job done, to excel, to innovate, have built this place. We will act with compassion, respect for our colleagues, and professionalism as we face these hard circumstances. Please, in this wave, we'll hear from our leader and HR partner this week. We will have another wave of notifications that will be completed by the start of the summer and for those that are not in the front-facing talent roles. Those who are leaving ESPN, I want to say thank you for your many contributions and reinforce that the company is here to support you during this challenging transition. Please reach out to your HR partner if you have any questions. While these decisions were made with considerable thought, I also want to recognize that we understand that this has been a long but thorough process with a lot of certainty. This type of action impacts everyone. Thank you for your continued patience. ESPN has been built on camaraderie, resilience, and a collective passion to serve sports fans. Those values are crucial during tough times. Please continue to be supportive of each other. Signed, Jimmy. Okay, let's talk about this because it's business, right? It's business. So when Bob Iger came in, okay, there had been a lot of things going on, okay? Namely, Chapek had run into the ground. And what Iger had to do, okay, is basically dig themselves out of a hole. And what he's doing right now is digging themselves out of a hole. And he's going to be saving quite a bit of money with all of these job cuts. I mean, you know, Ike Perlmutter just got cut the other day. I mean, the reason why he was in the news is because, I mean, he was part of building the whole Marvel structure, right? And so that was a big, you know, thing. Now, there had been somebody who had been, you know, with Disney and the ESPN organization for 40 years, 45 years, and he just got laid off, okay? At the end of the day, this is just business. And once you can understand that, and once you get past that, then that's easier to understand. Disney is not going to be back for at least 2 to 3 years, minimum. And there's a couple of questions that have to be asked. Number one, how long is Iger going to stay? Now, I think he's already come out. I don't know this off the top of my head. I think he says he wanted to stay till the end of 2024. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me in the comments, please. But he wanted to stay to the end of 2024. That all being said, he needs to really cut the fat. And, you know, there was another project from Disney Plus that just got canceled, the National Treasure series that just got canceled. So he's slashing and burning right now. And that's that. And you're going to hear about a lot more jobs that are being cut over the next, you know, week and over the next 6 weeks. So it's tough. You know, and mind you, when I say these things, it's more of a corporate thing. Okay. This isn't, as it said in the letter, it's not going to be affecting anybody who's on the front lines, which is good. Okay. You know, it'll be interesting to see if there's a way that, like, ESPN, you know, I'm a big sports guy. It'll be interesting to see if there's a who the talent is, or B, more importantly, if there's any way that the games are going to be presented in a different manner. So, but yeah, so Disney's laying off quite a few people. This is the chunk. Okay. This is that big chunk of jobs. So, I mean, this is over 50% of the jobs right here. This is 55% of the jobs. So this is the one that's really going to take a hit for a lot of people. So, I mean, I think that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's tough, but they're going to be fine. And I think, too, you may even see this in the feature, you know, roles, feature films. You're not going to get that Thor 5 or that, you know, that other film, that third or fourth film that you normally would, because it's a $250 million, you know, movie. And this is going to, you know, this has something to do with Marvel, too. Don't forget about that. Okay. It didn't directly say that, but it did. Okay. So they're not going to spend $150, $160 million on a movie that they frankly, you know, with Kevin Feige, they don't need. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, okay, it's tough. A lot of people are losing their jobs, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And once you get past that, and once you understand that, then it is what it is. Anyways, what do you guys think? Do you think this is the right thing for Disney to do, or do you think they should have let them keep their jobs? Do you think Disney, it's going to affect the frontline workers in any ways? I mean, or how do you think Disney's going to change? When do you think Iger is going to leave? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so we go from not so good news to let's go to some really good news for once. The weekend box office. Now, the weekend box office was just huge. So the two big winners was Super Mario Brothers and The Evil Dead Rises. Super Mario just killed it again, okay? And Evil Dead Rises had a really good weekend. So it's just great to see. So this is the third weekend in a row that Super Mario has won. Okay, and Super Mario made $60 million. So this comes from Deadline. And, you know, as I said, so it's the weekend box office, the CinemaCon kicks off. Good news for Warner Brothers and Universal on the first day of CinemaCon. These movies came in higher at the box office than expected. Nintendo's Universal Illumination Super Mario Brothers film was the leader for the third weekend of $59.9 million. So call it $60 million. $60 million, still the highest third week ever for an animated movie, but also just the third weekend for a Universal title, the last being Jurassic World with $54.4 million. The third best weekend previously for an Illumination animated film was 2018's The Grinch at $30 million. Super Mario gets a lift off better than expected at 19.65 million, which is 25% less than its 26 million on Saturday. So its running total for the United States and Canada is $436 million domestic. So Evil Dead Rise did an estimated $6 million on Sunday instead of the 4.9 it thought, which puts the latest installment of the horror series at $24.5 million. That's not far from the pre-pandemic opening of the Curse of La Llorona from New Line Cinemas and in the third weekend in April 2019, which did a $26.3 million off a B-minus cinema score and finished at $54 million. Key drivers in the, quote, spooky bomb campaign led by Warner Brothers marketing Josh Goldenstein were the Red and Green Band trailers that dropped on January 3rd, also tailored on that month's and horror pit of Megan. Of course, grabbing all the genre fans with the South by Southwest premiere goes a long way and great reviews. New Line Cinema screened the movie across horror fan fests such as Horrifying in Cincinnati, Overlook in New Orleans, C2E2, and a couple of others. So let's see. Stunted screenings, including Den Track, also scares about Telemundo, BuzzFeed, and Hispanic and Latino moviegoers, it went up to a huge 35% against Caucasians at 32%. So it was just huge. Now here are the total numbers. I want to read the total numbers for you guys because this was the impressive thing, okay? So, as I said, Super Mario, okay, made 59.9, okay? Evil Dead Rises, 23.5. Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, which I actually want to see, made 6.28 million. John Wick 4 still in the top five at 5.75. And Air continues to stay in the top five at $5.5 million. You know, this is all good stuff. I mean, because we have movies out there that are doing really, really well. And we have CinemaCon. Okay, as I said, we'll get to it. We have a couple of films going to be there too. And I think that it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. I mean, I think Air making $5.5 million. Look, this is almost making close to its budget back. And it's just amazing to see what the longevity of this movie is. Just unbelievable. This is going to get to $1 billion. Probably not this weekend, but next weekend. So it's got two. It's got one more weekend. Okay, it's really got two more weekends. Yeah. So speaking of Evil Dead Rise, the title drop for Evil Dead Rise was amazing. Okay. So I've yet to see Evil Dead Rise, and I'm going to wait. I know you were asking me about if I've seen Mario. I'm going to wait till stream for that to come out, Coco. But that's a huge box office though take for Evil Dead Rise. And I really think the fact that it did so well, it's going to really do well next weekend too. And I think that's something to be said. But there is a lot of films out there too that's really, you know, good. So Mario movie is so good. My friends and I just saw it, and the theater was still packed. Yeah, as I said, it made $60 million, Coco. So it's just unbelievable. This is going to hit $1 billion. Probably this week. And it's right. And it's perfect to do it because you got CinemaCon right, you know, starting this week. And we'll get to those stories in a couple minutes. And it's like, yeah, I can't believe that this is doing that well. But we really needed this. We really, really needed this. And if this is any indication of how the summer is going to go, look out. Look out. Because here's the thing. The thing being is this. Into the Spider-Verse is an animated movie. And the other one, from everybody, I have yet to see it. And I can watch it for free, so it's not that big of a deal. But everybody I talk to says that's at least in the top one or two Spider-Man films of all of the Spider-Man films. So everyone I know, my high school class, knows the entire Peaches song just by how many people say, yeah. And there are going to be people going back to the movie over and over and over. And I think that's really, this is what movies can do. It can really save the box office. And Evil Dead Rise making almost $25 million is incredible. Incredible. So I can't wait to see it. And like I said, guys, imagine if this is making this much money here. Imagine what it's going to do on video on demand. It's just going to blow up. So anyways, guys, what do you think about this? How many times have you seen Mario? Have you seen Evil Dead Rise? Did you like either or? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so we're going to move from a story that it's not the greatest story in the world, but it's a necessary story. And I'm talking about the WGA possible strike. So there's been a lot of talk about writers and how what this could do. I was in the streams recently because I was, thank you very much. And I'm glad to have you back. So, I'm glad you enjoyed them. And don't forget, I was just saying at the top of the show that I have a Mission Impossible rewatch stream coming up very shortly too. So, do you think we're going to see an endgame type of world with Mario? Now, do you mean like developing that type of thing? Or do you mean like... like a Link? Yeah, I could very easily see that. Yeah, absolutely. 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 Because they have a hit on their hands now. They know that. Now, it will be interesting. So you're going to... The one thing I'll say is this before we move on. I think that in order to really get the the people back, you're going to have to figure out a way to incorporate the other core characters, right? You know, so, you know, imagine all the movies lead up to Smash Brothers. Yeah, they could very easily do that. So I'm sure right now at Universal, they're planning this stuff out. And what can we do and how can we do it to capitalize on this? Now, I'm not saying you have to have Mario's in everything. I'll say this. If you could take that core concept of Mario and apply it to, let's say, The Last of Us, what I mean by that is putting little Easter eggs in there, okay, and doing that, then in all the other upcoming films, you absolutely could do that. I have no doubt in my mind. They would probably need to make all the movies. Yes. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. They have to make all those in the same fashion because that's what people are. Look, you could go out and make a Princess Peach movie right now and develop that and have that done in a couple of years. I've heard whispers of a Zelda movie. Yeah. Definitely. I have no doubt in my mind. So, I mean, you could legitimately right now, today, make a Princess Peach movie, a Zelda movie, and something else, and it would still resonate and all lead up to something like that. Absolutely. Captain Toad, yeah. I'm sure they're brainstorming all of this stuff right now. So we'll see. So we'll see about all that stuff. But one thing I actually wanted to touch upon was the Writers Guild of America, because without these fantastic, we're all getting the fruits of all the labors of all these writers. And, you know, even if it's animated, I mean, because you have these writers that write this, and, you know, whether it's Chris Pratt coming in or whoever it is doing the voice. And so the writers are the most integral portions of all of this. Because without good writing, you're not having good movies. And so I wanted to talk about how this could impact the movies and how it really could do some damage. So here is a piece that Deadline wrote. Now, it's quite long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read a couple of them. Couple of paragraphs just to get to show you why it's important and how likely it could be happening. In a week when distributors and exhibitors reconvene for their annual Las Vegas meetup CinemaCon and celebrate the post-pandemic resurge of the box office, the motion picture industry is also bracing for a potential Writers Guild of America strike. With production and deal making slowing down, especially with 98% of WG West and WG East authorizing a strike, if it's a fair new film television deal isn't met by the May 1st deadline, so it's next week, how could it possibly make a dent in the box office boom? One Gouter analyst projects would result in an estimated $32 billion globally, up 24% from last year, and $9 billion stateside, up 200%. Just a majority of the exhibitors are getting back on their feet financially after COVID's great shutdown of 2020 and 2021. Studio sources outlining the worst-case scenarios to Deadline should the WGA strike span more than 4 months. In short, the theatrical release calendar would see several date changes for picks as soon as quarter four this year. While the 2024 theatrical release calendar remains roughly intact in its first 6 months, with completed movies coming down the pipeline, beyond that it gets squishy. It's in a scenario that might lead studios to pull their Q4 2023 films. Such an aftermath from a possible strike isn't as dramatic as it would be for television production, which you would feel more immediate. Realize the longest WGA strike on record was in 1988, when it lasted 6 months, 153 days, followed by the 1960 strike of 146 days, and then, of course, 07, 08, and that lasts 100 days. There's another wrinkle. With SAG and AFTRA's contract expiring next week, June 30th, should that union decide to strike, it would prevent actors from doing publicity on feature shows or television projects. So how does that jolt Summer's later tentpoles, i.e. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Haunted Mansion, amongst others? The good news is that exhibitioners that release tentpoles are prized launch pads for movie studios, so they're not apt to give up them easily. Hence, there's no move for those dates or distributions, and it's a wait-and-see mode. On the other hand, the similar movies that are publicity dependent are primed to pivot should after SAG strike. This past weekend, the National Board voted unanimously to approve a resolution, quote, strongly in support, end quote, of WGA and their ongoing talks. So this is quite a long article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what I will say is this. It's incredibly, incredibly important. So, yes, I remember the 070 was the reason Lost took such a downward trend for Heroes. Yeah, Heroes was a major part of that too. But nonetheless, it's one of those things where, look, if we have this strike, because don't forget, this is how reality television came into play all those years ago. I mean, we have shows like Survivor and Fear Factor and everything because it was completely unscripted. And when they got back, when the writers got back, they started to become mainstays. They started to become popular. All that stuff being said, this could be devastating for not only Screen Actors Guild, as I made mention, but the writers, and they just want fair wages and everything else. And look, I'm all in support of them. I hope this doesn't affect it. But you got to understand something, too, that these are always, it's a business, okay? It's a push and a pull type of thing. And the thing is that you get people that don't want to do something, they'll just sit out and they'll wait. And that's the beauty about a union, right? Is that they all come together and they all do what they're supposed to do. I hope there is no strike, because I wouldn't want to see this. All these movies have been delayed for so long. People are really going to, be like, we don't want them delayed anymore. I just hope they get done. But this is, and the reason I talk about this stuff, the Disney stuff and the Super Mario stuff is cool too. It's because this is part of the business. There are writers. I mean, we watch the credits of a movie and it says written by. We just see a name, but that's an actual person, okay? They make a living doing this, okay? And if some of these things are taken away from them, or they're not getting paid enough, or the residuals aren't there, that's a whole thing with AI. How much is AI going to affect the writer's strike too? There's a lot of different dynamics. So it's not the sexiest thing in the world, I know, but it is important, because otherwise, it affects streaming too. It's not just feature films. It's streaming. It's television. It's streaming. And it's major motion pictures. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that they're going to strike? If they do, how long do you think the strike's going to be? What film would you hope doesn't get delayed? Because they said there could be some of them could be delayed later on in this year. Let me know the thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so let's move on to something a little more cheery, shall we? So the big thing for this week is this could hurt a lot of people. Hopefully they get it worked out. No, I agree with you. I agree with you, Metal. I mean, it's unions, they're people, so we'll see what happens. I think they will. I think this is going to be an 11th hour type of thing, and I think that this is going to go all the way down to the last day, or very close to the last day, and then they're going to put it off again, and then we'll go and we'll move on. So I think that, but if it starts, I think if I'll say this much, if it does start, I think it's going to go on for a long time. So it's either going to get stopped short right at the edge, or it's going to go on for a long time, because I don't see any middle ground there, because they're not budgeting. Anyways, I do hope they get it worked out, though. So moving on, let's move to the last story of the day. And this is a big story. This is why I waited to tell this one. So this week, we have a big, big event. It's like this, as I said, this top of the show, the Super Bowl of movies. This is where all of the studios come and say, look at our work, look at our work. You know, whether it's Universal, whether it's Paramount, whether it's MGM or Amazon, whether it's Lionsgate. And we know that there are going to be a couple of premieres, right? So the biggest one is going to be The Flash. So that is going to be later on in the week. That's going to be on Wednesday. So that's going to be shown. And Sony is tonight. So let's talk about Sony real quick, because I think that don't worry about the Transformers one. That's not a Sony product. At least I don't think it is. But nonetheless, so here's the thing. I think that now I see that. I'll get to that in just a moment, Metal. So here's the thing. I think there are a couple of projects that they're going to show. So they have about an hour or an hour and a half. Okay. And that being said, I think that this is going to be one of the big things we see, right? Because this is coming out at the beginning of June. So can't believe that that's still happening, even though the writer's strike thing's kind of weird. Can't believe that that's still happening since the writer's strike thing is. Oh, okay. So CinemaCon is happening. This was pre-planned a long, long time ago. No. So this was something that was, it's not like that, you know, they were, the WGA is negotiating with whoever they're negotiating with. Okay. This is planned. This is a yearly thing. And besides that, you have all these blockbusters like Across the Spider-Verse, like Mission Impossible, like Guardians, like whatever. And I mean, well, Disney's got their own thing, but all of these, so they absolutely want to show this off. So Sony is the one that's premiering tonight. Okay. And I think that basically you're going to, so there's three movies I think that they're going to really want to push. Okay. This being the first one. I wouldn't be shocked if you see a full, now, obviously I'm not there. You know, I'm going to, you know, well, once the presentation happened, I'm going to do some Twitter spaces on this. So if you want to come join me on Twitter, basically that is, so I'm going to be, let's do this real quick. Let's go full screen so you guys can see this. That is going to be my Twitter handle. I am going to be doing spaces on this once the presentation for Sony is done, and we'll talk all about this. Right now, I'm only speculating about what I think could be there. So that being said, Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse will make total four. I have no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, I'm expecting it to make more than that. Okay. Because it is kicking off June. So it's going to be huge. The Flash will run. Yeah. Yeah. I totally believe this. So the Flash will be on Wednesday. So I just joined in. The Flash is going to be on Wednesday. Sony's tonight. I think that this is going to be huge for them. So the three movies I think that they're going to be showing off, okay, are, of course, Into the Spider-Verse. I think that, you know, later on in the year, I think it's going to, I think you're going to see some of the Equalizer 3. Just a hunch. And you had another film coming out later on that, yeah. So, I mean, I think that those are going to be the two big films that are going to be. Oh, and the other one, I'm sorry, couldn't remember for a minute. It's Insidious. I think the Insidious one is going to make a premiere tonight in some capacity, even though it's not, obviously they're not going to show the whole thing, but I do think that they're going to make some sort of premiere of that too. So, I mean, these are all the films that we've had so far this year. You know, whether it's Creed 3 or Cocaine Bear or Renford or John Wick 4, or, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp. So, but I think that this is going to, so Guardians Volume 3, total run 800 to 900 million. I mean, I've said it before. It's so I'm going to say this, Kevin. So it's going to make at least 800 to a billion. Mission Impossible, that's the one I'm really looking forward to. That's the one I think is going to be the biggest one of the whole box office. So, yeah, I mean, you have the potential here, guys, that you could very easily have 6 to 7 $1 billion movies. That's no joke. That is no joke. This summer is going to be absolutely packed. There is one thing to say about this, though. Okay. The majority of this money is going to have to be made overseas, because the problem is, especially in June, as you guys are talking about here, June is packed. On June 2nd, you have Across the Spider-Verse. June 9th, you have Rise of the Beast. You've got these two films here. Okay. On the 16th, you have The Flash. Okay. And then on the 30th, you have Indiana Jones. Now, depending on what the weekend box office does for those films, it's going to be fascinating, because that next week, that new movie that's being released is going to take away money. Now, that's not to say that other movie is not going to make money. But once you start to have 3 and 4 and 5 movies in the theater, it's going to be hard to make a lot of money. So we're kicking off, you know, Guardians next week. Okay. And then a couple weeks later, you're going to have Fast 10. Okay. And those two movies are Little Mermaid's in there too. And those two movies are going to be relatively safe. But then you have, like I said, you have June. So let's say the movie makes $100 million. Now, usually you want between a 40 to 50% drop. Okay. That being said, unless it has legs like Mario, but that being said, at that point, what ends up happening is that unless it's going to drop quite significantly, like 70%, like Ant-Man did, okay, that made 108 million opening weekend and then made 30 some odd million the next weekend. I don't think it'll do that. But if it drops 50%, it's still making $50 million. So it's going to be hard. Those first 2 weeks are going to be so critical for that, because once you get to July 1st, okay, you're going to have, this is going to be the first time you're going to go to your box office, your movie theater, and it's going to be packed full of movies, blockbusters. Guardians of the Galaxy, Fast 10, Across the Spider-Verse, Transformers, Indiana Jones, Mission Impossible. All of these movies are going to be in there at the same time. Okay, Barbie, Oppenheimer, these movies are all going to be there in the same time, which means something else. They're not, when a big movie comes out, like Guardians, for example, if you go to your Regal app or your AMC app right now, my guess is that, number one, you're going to be able to purchase tickets, but number two, it's going to take up quite a few theaters. Once these movies start to come out, it's only going to get a couple theaters. So let's say you have a 10-screen theater, okay? What's going to end up happening is that you're only going to have so many movies, okay, and so many slots. So which movies do you put where, okay? That's going to be fascinating too. So I agree with you guys on all of this stuff. It's going to make a boatload of money, but it's all going to be front-loaded. It's all going to be opening weekend in that second weekend, because as the new film opens, it's not going to make as much money moving down the road. And I think that's important to really talk about. because it's one of those things where, you know, you have a lot of money that's coming in. And so, I mean, you have a lot of money coming in, essentially, and that's going to be the important thing. So, I mean, like I said, these are all the movies that came out this year. Okay, no, these movies have all come out. Okay, and some have done very well, and some that have done not so well. I mean, Renfield didn't make that much money this week. Okay, but Creed 3, you know, made $300 or $400 million, you know, total. So it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be very fascinating. And Guardians is going to kick the whole thing off in 2 weeks. And I can't wait. So because of this, and just to let you guys know, I'm not going to be doing the roundup. Okay. Thursday or Friday, I still have to figure out. I will probably go see it on the movie on a Thursday. We'll probably be doing the spoiler cast on Saturdays. And that way, I'm going to let everybody digest it. You know, if you want to go see it a couple times, sure. And then we'll come back on Monday. We'll do the whole thing all over again. And then, so that's what's going to be. So coming up today, I have all the notes right in front of me. Like I said, I'm going to be doing the Mission Impossible rewatch stream. So it's going to premiere June 2nd. But for anybody that wants to come in now, you know, when I mean now, I mean when the stream comes in. You come back in like, you know, 20 minutes and or even, you know, sooner than that, I'll be right back up. I'm going to do the Mission Impossible stream and get this out. Don't forget, plenty of stuff coming up. And yeah, so that's about it. So, okay. Oppenheimer is going to be a good movie. Really want to see that. Yeah, I think it's going to be, it's interesting, Metal, because here's the thing. And I've always said this, okay. Oppenheimer is one of those movies that so you have two movies coming out on the 16th, I believe. I think it's the 16th of July. I could be wrong. But that being said, okay, it is the 14th. The 14th, okay. 14th to the 21st. Anyways, the reason I say one of these movies is going to have to move. Barbie's coming out the same day. I am absolutely going to go see Oppenheimer. The problem is, and it's not a problem, it's a good problem to have, actually, because you have, Barbie is a film that's tailored toward a different demographic, okay? So, I mean, let's say you're going to with your girlfriend to the movies. She wants to see Barbie. You can go see Oppenheimer. Okay. It is Christopher Nolan who is established Interstellar, excuse me, Dunkirk, the Dark Knight series, you know, Memento, Inception. But the one drawback here is this. It's about somebody that a lot of people don't know, right? It's about a person that essentially developed a nuclear bomb. And is that going to play well with others? You know, I mean, what kind of demographic are you going to be looking at? It's, by the way, the cast is stacked. I'm not disputing that. I'm saying that I think it could not make as much money because of that. Now, to your point, something else to consider about it, okay, is that you do have Mission Impossible coming out the week before it. I just hope it lines up with the book. Oh, there's a book out. Huh. Okay. I'll have to look into the book then. As a matter of fact, I just found a copy of somebody. I found a copy of Killers of the Flower Moon. So, of course, the Scorsese film coming out on Apple here. So I'm going to sit down and read that to really get an idea about that. So, auto documentary. Cool. Good to know. Yeah. So I'm really, that's the one thing about Oppenheimer. And the other thing too is, like I said, Mission Impossible is coming out the week before that. And it's going to crush the box office. If this is good as everybody thinks and says it is, okay, and I'm sure they're going to get a nice little look at that at CinemaCon this weekend. I really think it's going to win the second week, even though you have Barbie coming out, even though you have Oppenheimer coming out. I hope it does well. But I really believe one of these two movies could move to an August date and be fine. So we'll see. But guys, come back here. So let's call it 3:30. And I will be doing the Mission Impossible stream. So give me about half hour to set up. And that will be great. But do the three things you need to do. Be safe, be careful, and have a great rest of the day. And come back here at 3:30, and you're going to be able to catch the Mission Impossible stream. I'm David Steele, and you have been watching Real Talks, guys. Bye-bye.